Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Boston Globe reporter Matt Stout, welcome back to The Common.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes, yes. Always a pleasure talking to you, Matt. But Matt, we got you here today to talk about a new development in the overloaded Massachusetts emergency shelter system. So on Monday, Governor Maura Healey announced that the state will impose a 30-day limit on families staying in overflow shelters. The mandate would require them to reapply monthly and show they're also seeking work authorization. So, Matt, tell us more about this announcement. Give us more details about the 30-day limit and the reapplication process.
Yeah, I mean, this is, another new step in what is a series of them when it comes to the shelter system, because it's never really been in a situation like it currently is. But in this one, it's essentially the governor's administration is setting a 30-day limit for families to stay. And then every month they have to do what they, at least what state officials are calling a recertification. So that's to be able to stay in shelter, you kind of have to check a series of boxes. Like you mentioned, there's a few different things they're looking for them to prove. That's like, yeah, that they're going through job training or seeking a work authorization, you know, taking English as a second language classes, showing that they're in programs that are helping them search for housing, or submitting job applications. I mean, there's a number of things they want to prove, as the state puts it, that they're moving toward independence and taking the steps to actually get out of the emergency shelter system, which it's interesting where they chose to sort of impose this, because these people are technically in the overflow shelter. They're technically not even in the emergency shelter system yet. Mm-hmm. They're on a waiting list. It's right. Part of a gradual, as we're seeing, sort of tightening of the program as costs really go up. The number of families in the program or seeking to get the program continue to go up. This is the state's efforts to try to, you know, tighten the reins a little bit, because they're spending, you know, more on this than really the state ever has, and it's not even close.
Why did Healey impose these restrictions on the overflow shelters? What does she have to say about that?
They're calling it sort of a means of accountability, that these are people taking part in a state program, one that is, you know, overwhelmed and at capacity, and they want to have people, one, show that they are, you know, taking the steps to not rely on the shelter system for housing. Massachusetts is not alone in seeking to put these type of restrictions and limits and rules on a program. You know, New York has pursued similar sort of length of stay limits on people actually within the shelter program there for individuals and families. So Massachusetts is not an outlier here, because there are many states or major cities that are kind of seeing, you know, similar, if not greater, influx of immigrant families, and trying to figure out ways to manage the program at a time where they're asking for more federal help, not really getting it, and spending more and more of their own budgets and money to make it work.
Money, money, money. You know, Matt, overflow shelters do not seem like a place a person would want to stay indefinitely, especially if they have a family, right? Tell us about the challenges people are facing when it comes to getting out of the shelter system and getting on their feet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even when you're talking about the shelter system as a whole, you know, state officials have said sort of the average length of stay is, I think, over a year, about 13, 14 months. It's a long process of both being able to get authorized to work, to get a job, and on the other end, be able to have enough money to afford housing.
Right.
There's programs the state has to help people with sort of, you know, first month, last month with rent and so forth. But I mean, it's sort of this squeeze from two sides of lots of families coming in, needing help, and a housing crisis that makes it hard not to find housing, not just for them, but everyone's having trouble finding, you know, the housing they need.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of become this, you know, perfect storm, if you will, of pressure from, you know, at least on the shelter system, on both ends, for an individual family just to navigate it. It takes a lot of time. And no one wants to live in a hotel for a year. No one wants to stay in a congregate shelter for months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you speak to sort of these, you know, advocacy groups and other groups that work with immigrant families, by and large, they, you know, they say that these are families that want to kind of get on their own two feet. Families tell us ourselves that they don't want to be in these hotels, but they need help. They need that time to be able to kind of get established here.
Yeah, I'm interested to know, how are advocates responding to the announcement of this mandate?
There's a lot of concern. I mean, part of this is every time we've had a new policy or step here over the last couple of months, I mean, you're going into uncharted territory because this whole thing is uncharted territory for pretty much everyone involved. So there's a question of, well, what happens to the family that can't prove they're meeting all the steps the state wants them to take? What happens to them as they are, you know, essentially lose their spot in the shelter, lose their spot on the waiting list? I mean, as one kind of advocate put it, is, you know, there's no safety net for the safety net.
Matt, before we go to a break, are there any exceptions to this mandate?
Well, that's what we're waiting to hear. At this point, the governor's office has put out some information. I mean, as we talk, I guess I can't go through a list of people that would be exceptions. I know there are certain overflow shelters where they are, quote unquote, you know, sort of higher priority family stay, you know, expecting mother who's in her third trimester. This policy won't apply. They won't ask them to recertify every month. So it's not every state-run overflow shelter. It's only a few. So there are exceptions there. But in terms of a family being able to having to recertify, and, you know, that's unclear because they're sort of waiting for the sort of formal written rules of how this is going to work.
Understood. Now, Matt, we're going to take a break here. But when we get back, I want to talk about what state lawmakers have been doing to address the challenges in the state shelter system. So we'll be right back.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with Boston Globe reporter Matt Stout. So, Matt, we are talking about Governor Healey's announcement saying that the state will impose a 30-day limit on families staying in overflow shelters in the state. But lawmakers also have proposals to limit the amount of time families spend in the actual shelter system. The House and the Senate have been kind of going back and forth with proposals. So what can you tell us about those?
The House and Senate have each passed their own, which have some, you know, minor, but also in other places, you know, major differences. I mean, they're both seeking to essentially put a 9-month limit on how long people could stay. They each allow for sort of certain extensions. They're a little bit different just in the wording, but essentially each would allow for an extra 3 months for certain groups of people. The Senate proposal will allow for sort of multiple 3-month extensions or 90-day extensions. So they have to sort of land or compromise on what that would look like. Some of the major differences is how they're going to choose to actually fund the system. Presumably in the coming weeks, the system itself is going to run out of money without another infusion. So the House is looking to put, I think it's around $245 million into the system using sort of this separate account that has a bunch of, you know, sort of budget surplus and other money from previous years. While the Senate is essentially allow the administration to drain that entire account over several months, that's roughly about $850.
$850 million.
$850 million. Thank you. Yes, not 850. That would be very different. They're each committing a lot of money to this, but obviously vastly different amounts and sort of kind of giving the governor's administration different ways to pull money out of this account and actually keep the system going. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, time is of the essence. There seems to be obviously urgency because we don't know exactly when the money run out, but it's coming soon. So the legislature has to, I think, recognize that they have to move quickly. And there's other things tied into this bill that are sort of time is of the essence. So
as you say, time is of the essence, I'm wondering when might we see a proposal that both bodies can approve?
It would have to be in the coming weeks. Exactly when is unclear. One thing, as part of this bill, which is separate from the shelter system, there's a number of attempts to sort of make permanent different policies that were passed during the pandemic, whether it's the House proposal to allow restaurants to sell to-go cocktails, you know, or to give towns and restaurants, you know, more flexibility to do outdoor seating. Those things are expiring, you know, come April 1st. Mm. So if you want those things to continue in some shape or form, presumably you have to pass a bill and get it to the governor's desk, you know, in the coming days or shortly there around, you know, April 1st, because those are policies that I think there's a lot of interest, depending on which chamber, to extend permanently. But there's that clock there, and that's all tied into the same bill, even though it has nothing to do with the shelter system. So there's kind of pressures in different places to move quickly.
Mm-hmm. So in closing, Matt, we are talking about imposing restrictions on the state emergency shelter system and the overflow shelter system. What do these restrictions say about where the state is right now when it comes to the issues in its shelter system?
You know, I think it's a sign, or at least the legislature, you know, saying it's very aware that there is no cavalry riding in from the federal government with a lot of money to help them make this work. So, I mean, I think that's what prompted this. I mean, when you had a border bill fail in Congress early this year, I think it sort of put on a light bulb for a lot of people here that, hey, we need to start taking different steps here because we're not going to be able to afford this if this continues to grow. This recognition, I think, is really driving what we're seeing here. It's a lot of uncertainty of not just paying for it this fiscal year and then how much money you pay for it next fiscal year, but what does this look like a year from now? Is it worse? Is it getting any better? I think there's just sort of a recognition among legislature and administration that you're going to have to commit a lot of money to this. You don't know exactly how much and for how long, but you need to start putting things into place to try to make the bottom line manageable for the state. At the same time, you're dealing with what is a humanitarian crisis. It's a lot of difficult decisions that are being made. Try to answer the question of how do you juggle this? How do you make this work?
Understood. Well, Matt, thank you so much for your story, and thank you for coming through to talk to us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you like what you're hearing, please head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts, especially Apple or Spotify. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Let us know how you're liking the show. Thank you if you already did it. And with that, my name is Daryl C. Murphy, and I will talk to you tomorrow.